What's the state of health insurance here in Wisconsin? You may have heard that the Trump administration made changes to the Affordable Care Act last year, and in a busy legislative session, Governor Scott Walker pushed for changes at the state level too. What does it all end up meaning for you as a healthcare consumer? Donna Friedsam is the Health Policy Programs Director at the UW Population Health Institute. She also oversees Covering Wisconsin, a program that connects residents of the state with the right health insurance plans. Donna, welcome back to Central Time.
I'm pleased to be with you.
Well, the Affordable Care Act was not repealed at the federal level, but there were changes. What are some of the most significant things that have changed?
Well, possibly the most significant change has been the repeal of the so-called individual mandate, or the requirement that people have some kind of insurance coverage if they don't qualify for an exception. And that occurred most recently with the passage of the Republican tax bill in January.
You wrote a recent piece that's over at wiscontext.org. It seems like a lot of changes, big and small, have led to one thing, premiums going up for people getting coverage under the Affordable Care Act marketplace. What are we seeing and what's driving that?
So there's been several changes over the last year and a half that have led to the premium increases that we've seen both this year going into the 2018 calendar year coverage year and the 2017 coverage year. And these things are a result of various policy changes that occurred in that time frame since the 2016 election, really, as well as, frankly, just the uncertain policy environment. What business likes best is certainty, and it's very difficult to price a product if the insurance companies don't know what they're going to be facing with regard to the policies and with regard to who's going to be enrolling in their products. So they need to price their products for the uncertainty that they're facing. However, what we saw in the last year and a half, in addition to the most recent repeal of the individual mandate, is the elimination of a reinsurance plan, or expiration of a reinsurance plan that had existed within the Affordable Care Act, the elimination of payments for cost-sharing reductions for low-income people. So the insurance companies built those their requirement to provide those discounts. They built that those costs into the premiums instead. And a reduction in the amount of time people have to enroll in the plans during the open enrollment period, which tends to favor the people who are most motivated to get the coverage, which are older or less healthy people. Younger, healthier people tend then to delay and perhaps not show up for getting coverage. All of that leads to a higher risk pool and higher premiums.
Yeah, a lot of those things you just said mean those younger people don't end up participating in the marketplace, so older or less healthy people who are more expensive for the insurers end up, and that's part of, as I understand it, what that reinsurance program through the federal government was supposed to kind of hedge for insurance companies. Is that right?
That's right. So we did have a reinsurance program over the first few years of Obamacare, and then that expired, and Congress did debate reauthorizing the reinsurance program last year as one of the efforts to address the price increases that we were seeing, the premium increases. People may recall, though, hearing it was a very heated debate, and there was discussion about, oh, we don't need to bail out the insurance companies, and it was kind of cast as a bailout of the insurance companies, and so it didn't ultimately prevail. There was no reauthorization to fund a reinsurance program for the insurance companies. So then it devolved to the states trying to do that. And as you see, we're doing here in Wisconsin, put a reinsurance program in place, ironically using the Affordable Care Act funding to do that.
There are people who are kind of seeing a squeeze. We talked about that earlier this week. While overall coverage numbers have come up, there are some people, because of their financial situation, because of the availability of health insurance, they're seeing premiums of $2,000-$3,000 a month. Can you talk about who is really not doing well under the current picture?
Right. So the people that are most affected by these premium increases are people who are on the individual market, so who don't get insurance through an employer or through a spouse's employer or a relative or through their parents or the like, who buy insurance on their own but don't qualify for the federal premium subsidies under the ACA or the ACA, otherwise known as Obamacare. So these are people who have incomes above four times the federal poverty level or 400% of the federal poverty level. So they make too much in income to qualify for the federal subsidies to purchase insurance, and yet they're fully exposed then to the premium increases as they exist. And so they then, when the premiums go up, they have no ability to handle the amount of increase that we're seeing. And so that's a substantial hit for that kind of middle class group of people who are on their own in the insurance market.
Talking to Donna Friedsam with Covering Wisconsin and the UW Population Health Institute, looking at the latest national and state news on health coverage, what it means for us here in Wisconsin. Donna, you wrote in that piece at WisConText that a lot of attention here is on the marketplace under the Affordable Care Act. People who are getting coverage through employers, though, you say should be paying attention. These debates will ultimately affect them, too.
Absolutely. People think, oh, well, I don't get an Obamacare plan. That doesn't affect me. But actually, the Affordable Care Act had a number of provisions that touch on really everybody, whether you have employer-sponsored insurance or you buy your own insurance or you're in Medicaid or wherever you get your coverage. One of the things people are perhaps most familiar with is the provision that prohibits insurers from discriminating based on pre-existing conditions. So that's probably the most popular provision in Obamacare, where no longer can insurance companies deny people coverage based on whether they have an existing health condition, whereas previously people found themselves unable to get insurance coverage when they had that health condition, or they may have been offered a product, an insurance product, but the price of that product was so high that it was simply unattainable for people. Now, under the Affordable Care Act, they can't be denied that coverage. And in addition, the pricing for that product needs to be within a range similar to pricing for everybody else. It's under kind of what we call a community rating system. So that if the Affordable Care Act were to go away, you do hear a lot of governors, including our governor, endorse the concept of retaining that protection for people with pre-existing conditions. But what's very important is that provision doesn't stand alone. If it's not coupled as well with rating protections, then people will find themselves priced out of insurance. They may be able to get an offer of insurance, but there's no rules that protect them from having that offer be very, very expensive. So I like to say, look, I have the right to buy, for example, a yacht, and nobody is going to deny providing me an offer to buy a yacht, but I don't have the financial ability to buy that yacht.
I also wanted to bring up work requirements for Medicaid, Badger Care here in Wisconsin. What has changed now in Wisconsin? How will it all work?
So the state Medicaid program has put in several requests to the federal government to change the rules of our Medicaid program. The reason they have to do that is because our Medicaid program operates, like in every state, as a federal-state partnership. The federal government pays in Wisconsin about 60% of the costs of service, and our state pays about 40% of the costs of service. And that varies, but that's the general rule. So in order to change the program, because it is that partnership, the state needs to get agreement from the federal government about some of the changes we want to make, and we do that through what's called a waiver. What Wisconsin has requested, a number of things, but one of the things is to have some work-related provisions, so to ask people who adults who are referred to as childless adults or adults without dependent children to engage in work or other work-related activities. And Wisconsin's request is different from several other states like Kentucky that have been approved, because Wisconsin doesn't say if you don't work, you're removed from the program. Rather, Wisconsin says, we're going to put a 48 month limit on eligibility for coverage. But if you work or engage in these work-related activities, we will stop the clock on this 48-month limit. So it's something of a different structure than you see in these other states.
On a practical level, how many people would be affected by that? Will this ultimately lead to people losing coverage after that 48-month countdown ends?
It's somewhat unclear how many people will actually be affected by this. The state did put projections out about what kinds of changes we would see in enrollment, and they did put some projections showing some small declines in overall enrollment. But what we know is, on a national level, among adults who are not disabled but are enrolled in Medicaid, about 60% of them are already attached to employment. So this would presumably be affecting about the 40% of adults who are not attached to employment. If the Kaiser Family Foundation has surveyed that population, and within that group, most of them say that they're not currently employed because they're home taking care of somebody, or they're in school, or they have some kind of a disability that's keeping them from employment. If that is indeed the case, and those survey responses hold up as fact, most of those people would be exempt from the work requirement as it's structured in Wisconsin anyway, so they would not be affected. What I think is that more likely what we're going to see is the declines in enrollment, simply because people are confused about whether they still qualify for coverage, and they may not present themselves for coverage, or they may find it difficult to produce the kinds of verifications they need to retain their coverage. But I don't know how substantial it will be. That remains for an evaluation.
Donna, thanks a lot for being with us today.
Thank you.
That's Donna Friedsam. She oversees Covering Wisconsin, a group that connects Wisconsin residents with health insurance coverage. She's also the Health Policy Programs Director at the UW Population Health Institute. She's the author of a recent article. You can find it at wiscontext.org. It's called "What's Next for the Health Insurance Landscape in Wisconsin."